With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Deprogram with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Greetings, truth seekers, paradigm busters, new world order, civil disobedience, freedom fighters, free thinkers, higher mammals, good people of all types. How's it going? It's Michael Parker coming to you as always from my undisclosed location somewhere in Los Angeles, California, and I am wearing a sweater today. Yep, it's actually cold in Los Angeles, or it's a little bit cool, and we've had some rain, thank God. We've needed it, and you know, winter is here, and for my producer and the rest of the team in Australia, they're approaching summer. Well, we're approaching winter, and as much winter as you get in Southern California, and for those who don't live here, by the way, this is the time that we get rain. If we're going to get rain, we get it in the winter. So all fingers are crossed that we continue to get rain in this drought period. So we got a big show for you today. Peter Duke of the Duke Report is going to be joining us to talk about the latest WEF madness. And in the second hour, Brent Hamacek is going to be joining us on the show for the first time to talk about the idea of being an American dissident, which I'm sad to say, I resonate with that idea. John Matlin, of course, has got a couple of stories for us, so he'll be here. But first of all, let's kick it off with the economy. The first thing that happens in the morning when I wake up, I look at my phone and I look at some stocks and try to see what's going on with the market, get a feel for the day. And, you know, at about 6 o'clock in the morning, the futures were skyrocketing because the consumer price index had come in cooler than was expected. And, you know, this is good news to the market. We were expecting a larger number than we got. And so at one point, the market was up like 700 plus points. Now it has settled, sobered up a little bit and settled at about 18 points negative. So that's how wild of a swing that we've had today, but it was based upon the CPI increase of 7.1%, which was down from 7.7% in October. And this is good because CPI going down is not really, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And they were expecting it not to go down that much. So now the question becomes, what happens tomorrow? Because the Fed is having one of their meetings, and Jerome Powell, who's the chairman of the Fed, will speak tomorrow. And what we're waiting for now is what he does for the rate hikes. Will it be another 0.5 rate hike? That's kind of what everyone is anticipating. But with this news today, will it be less? I don't think it will be less. I don't think it'll be 0.25. I think it will be 0.5. And that's what we're waiting to see what happens. The Treasury yield, the 10-year Treasury yield went down a bit to 3.44%, and that is also probably related to the CPI inflation data. Now, core CPI, which Michael Bissler, when he's on here, he talks about, was 6% versus an expected 6.1%, which again, doesn't sound like much, but it's less than we expected. And core CPI is when you exclude volatile food and energy prices. So that's what they call core CPI. We're looking at about 6.6% on an annual basis. And so we'll have to see what happens. And I anticipate, like most people do, and I think the market's pretty much got this baked in already, tomorrow we'll probably see that 50 basis point increase. And if we don't, I will be surprised. Who knows? Maybe it will be 0.25. And if that were to happen, then I think we see a little Santa Claus rally. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not financial advice. This is just Michael Parker watching the market and opining. But today was a big day. Tomorrow was going to be a bigger day. And a swing of 700 plus points in a day, that's a thing. That's something to pay attention to. If you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We are also on all of the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. There is no reason to miss out on anything TNT radio.
The There's a lot going on,
so it's important to stay informed and up to date.
Get ready, because here we go.
At the top, 30 minutes past and when it breaks.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Proper pronoun use. Very, very important. Proper pronoun use is a greatly debated topic these days, and even a simple joke such as listing your pronouns as Prosecutor Fauci can trigger many. How far will this debate actually go? Here to discuss this is TNT News producer, Mr. John Madlin. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Michael. Yeah, so let's start by asking, what is a woman? Michael, do you know what a woman is?
I'm pretty sure I do. I'm married to one, and then I have two younger versions, daughters who live in my house. I like them personally.
Okay, so here we go then. At least one member of the Supreme Court cannot define what that is when you say a woman, including some former feminists also cannot currently define what a woman is, and many are scared of being canceled, so they play this PC game of what it means to be a woman. Shania Twain might be able to tell you. Well, just like the word... She knows, damn, it feels like a woman. So, just like the word vaccine has been redefined by dictionaries and scientists, well, now so has the word woman. And to be fair and equitable, so has the word man. Cambridge Dictionary has officially changed the definition. So let's hear those new definitions. A man is an adult who lives and identifies as a male, though they may have been said to have been a different sex at birth. And the definition of a woman is now an adult who lives and identifies as female, though they may have been said to have a different sex at birth. Factually, I will supply my definitions now. A male is someone who is born with a penis and testicles, while a woman is born with a uterus, vagina, and all the eggs she will need to procreate. Only a biological woman
can carry. I second all of that.
I'm not done yet, Michael. So
continue.
Wait, because you might not second this. This might differ in your view. Only a biological woman can carry a baby, and only a biological male can fertilize the eggs of a biological female. Of course, unless you're doing a test tube baby, then it would be a biological male's semen and sperm that would be utilized. Okay, so biological men and women can later identify as a different gender. This is part of me going on. So if they suffer from gender dysphoria and may have even have forms of plastic surgery to help them with the symptoms of gender dysphoria. And I'm not advocating to not use their pronouns if you would like to. I try to if I was asked to. I have no problem with an adult engaging in whatever they like. And which is great, Michael, is in the definition they said an adult. But how long before that changes to a person or a child slash adult? Because that's what we're seeing going on with all of these hospitals and healthcare systems attempting to chemically castrate and do plastic surgery on kids. And of course, the bottom line is for money. But these are the scientific facts that I'm bringing forward, and there's no changing of definitions that can dispute this. The claim is the definitions were outdated because they assumed sex and gender identity. They assumed that they were always linked. However, this topic will be one that is viewed in the scope of science versus feelings for a very long time to come. Now, the government is jumping in. The House of Representatives are in the midst of considering H.R. 8665, also known as the National Archives and Records Administration Act of 2022. Congress, you would assume they would do a better job of maybe taking care of us while our borders being overran and all of those other things, and our interest rates are going up. We're in a very strange time, but here we go. It's purpose to strike gendered pronoun use in reference in the U.S. code. So that would make it be, for example, in section 710, by striking his approval. So now it wouldn't be his approval, it would be inserting the approval of the president. But what happens if the president wants to be identified as his approval? Well, I guess that's the next debate. But this is hitting a fever pitch recently with some trans women and Antifa attacking biological women here in New York City, protesting for their right to be biological women. Men are playing women's sports and rendering top players into lesser stars in their own leagues, not to mention the story that resurfaced again in the news about, I believe it was about last year, a 15-year-old boy raping a girl in a high school bathroom and having two sexual assaults on his record, but he was using the girl's bathroom while wearing a skirt, which some have said was a kilt. So where do we start talking about common sense? Michael, the floor is yours.
Well, you know, I was reading that NARA bill that you sent over, or reading about it. And it's interesting because they brought this forth on November 12th. And this is where it gets weird. And then it says it was brought forth on the floor on November 12th. And then a suspicion of the rules, the action was postponed. So there for a minute, they were talking about this thing. Then they went to a quick vote. Then they canceled it. And now it's back being looked at. And so when I was looking at who the people were behind this, there were two Republicans, three Democrats. One of those Republicans was a freshman Republican who apparently didn't win her second term. So she's on her way out the door. And perhaps legislation like this is why her own constituency just felt like they don't really need her.
Yeah. I having been somebody that ran, I was watching things come out about not being able to discriminate on the basis of women's haircuts for hiring jobs. Like some of the stuff that goes through our government is absolutely mind-numbing when you have such big issues that are occurring.
Yes.
And we are now going down this labyrinth of pretty much what I call insanity. And yes, it's all PC arguing about nonsense. I've for one do engage with it, at least on Twitter, and I always hold that line, and I say people don't have to appease one another. People will piss you off. That's part of life, even though I'm very tolerant. And I would attempt, if you told me what your pronouns were, I would try to appease you because I'm a nice guy. I know I don't have to, but you got something going on. Maybe I can help you with it. I can maybe try to make you feel better about what's going on in your head at that point. However, Michael, this is where the big issue comes in. The people in that community are fighting for the whole pronoun use on the left. They decided to misgender me. They called me Joanna. They told me I'm short, even though I'm 6 foot tall. And I told them all, see, learn from me. None of what you said offends me because I don't care what you have to say. That is the whole entire point. We've gotten to a point where we're not allowed to offend one another. And life can be pretty offensive on your few rotations around the sun. Revolutions.
John, and to your point at the very beginning, it's like, while we could be spending this time on the legislative floor, actually working on something to do good for the U.S. and for the globe at large, we're instead talking about this use of pronouns, which apparently, according to this article, now the people that were behind the legislation don't even want to talk about it, which perhaps, I'm not sure what that means. Maybe they're embarrassed by it, or I don't know, but this kind of focusing on such really irrelevant things is maddening. Now, I expect that from the government, but from Cambridge, from a dictionary for them to do this, that bugs me because this is something that in the past or in the future, we will look back and say, what in the world were we thinking? We were under just kind of a narcotic of self-imposed nonsense for much of the 2010s through the 2020s. And why was that? And, you know, or I hope that we will realize that and wake up from it. And as long as we're talking about using pronouns and people being offended by us not using a pronoun for a particular person, I'm rather offended by their fact that they say, instead of it being him or her, they say sometimes they want to be called they or them. Well, I'd like to point out that they or them signifies plural, and her or him signifies singular. And if you want to get granular, I will get that granular with you. And I noticed this the other day when I was talking about the crazy nuclear guy, Samuel Brinton, I think was his name, because he describes himself as they or them. And I kept reading that and it read very clumsy for me. And then I remembered, oh yeah, the they or them thing. But I don't know. That's how ridiculous it is. We are now going to change people's pronouns and we're not even going to use correct grammar. It's just ridiculous.
Yes. And to point out, this is where they wanted to get the citizens, the society. This is the part of that demoralizing point that we're arguing this as 2,000 people are flooding over the border in a pretty decently sized invasion, essentially, when you cross into another sovereign nation and you just run across You know, we're arguing over stupid stuff, and they always said when I was growing up and I was in history that all of these big societies and these empires like Rome all crumble from within, and it's always because they lose their morals and they eat themselves alive at some point. And it does go to say, I read a quote, I believe it was from Louder with Crowder. It said, those that control the language can control the narrative and the people, something along those lines. And it's obvious what's going on. We're all sitting here having this conversation, and it has to be had because somebody has to defend it and put a line in the sand. But you're watching extremism build as trans women are fighting biological women on the street with Antifa backing it. You're watching all of this pressure just continue to mount, and it's on purpose. We can't be blind to that. And it on a general thought pattern, it just doesn't make much sense. But this is where we are right now, and this is the hill that we're fighting on.
John Matlin, thank you for that report. You will be back in the second hour. We will look forward to that. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to march on. We are going to just carry on as best we can, like something from a Kansas song. But we will be back with my friend Peter Duke of the Duke Report, and we're going to talk about the WEF is coming for your pets. Yeah, that's right. We'll be back.
TNT Radio's David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan.
Mr. John Shipton, the father of Julian Assange.
I don't want to sound like, you know, a genetic determinist, but you were an anti-war activist way back. You have certain sensibilities in terms of your of being a dissenter. And so, Julian, to what extent do your political views align, and what's your relationship with him like?
Well, to be frank, you know, love is the only thing that can transcend pain and guilt. And the example is, of course, a mother kissing better when the child falls and scraps its knee or its elbow. Or, of course, in the case of thalidomide children, where the devotion of a parent allows the child to grow up into and have sufficient character to deal with the circumstance of having no other. So that is one element. The other element is that it seemed nowhere else to go. I don't want to use Margaret Thatcher's phrase, but there just simply was no other direction to go in once Julian in 2019, June, said, will you come back and give a hand? And he wasn't. He was in very poor order.
McBride and Brennan with David McBride and Dr. Robert Brennan on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Public school is the instituted agency of socialism throughout every community.
The U.S. government has no authority to have any role in education.
We're going to lose our very republic if we don't stop this indoctrination of children in government schools.
What happened to us in China can happen here.
Have one kind of education and then call it equity.
It's about outcomes. It's about trying to force us all to be equal.
I think we're going to have a race civil war in our hands.
We are exposing kids to pornography as early as kindergarten. Parents just don't know.
No, not anymore. Not anymore. Parents need to wake up. They don't have the interests of your child at heart.
Truth and Lies in American Education at SalemNow.com.
Info at your beck and call.
The stunning developments.
Stay tuned for updates.
Just tell your smart device to play
TNT Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm almost laughing before I even start this. My friend Peter Duke of the Duke Report is joining us. And yesterday on the Duke Report, they had this article. This is how far off the rails that we've gone. And it's about the WEF, the World Economic Forum. I don't
Michael,
think it's... Yes.
I'm going to stop you because I apologize. I know it's unprofessional, but I told you I wanted to talk to you about... I told you I wanted to talk to the story that was the featured story on the Duke Report yesterday. And in doing research before our show today, I realized that most of it was made up. And the tagline on the Duke Report is that all news is made up and some of it is true. And so before you did such an excellent job of selling this crazy story, I wanted to just set you straight and let you know that the Duke Report is we basically labeled it fake news, and I can go over it in detail and tell you what the circumstances were. So I think that that's probably just as interesting for your furry audience as anything else.
Right. Okay. So I get it. But let me just throw this into the mix, because they do point to a CNN. Okay. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, the article was the title was "Our Pets Are Part of the Climate Problem. These Tips Can Help You Minimize Their Carbon Paw Prints." And Peter had that on the Duke Report. But within that article, they point to a CNN article as well, which basically stops short of telling you to kill your pet or get rid of your pet. But you should look seriously at the diet of your pet, because the diet of pets comes largely from beef and meat and is just ecologically unsound.
Yeah. So the story basically claimed that the WEF wanted everyone to kill their pets. I fell for it, because they actually in the video faked some tweets from the World Economic Forum. And so I should have fact checked it, and I should have gone and checked, and I didn't. I saw the fake tweets, and the fake tweets fooled me, which means that I'm going to ban this website from the Duke Report. They're no longer a source on the Duke Report.
No worries.
However, the CNN that I did, in doing my background checks, I did find the CNN report, and the CNN report says that our pets are part of the climate problem. These tips can help you minimize their carbon footprint. And the WEF did run a story on January 15th, 2019, saying this surprising innovation could cut your pet's carbon paw print. And the article goes on to explain how you can feed your dog's fly larvae for protein. A teaspoon of fly eggs can create 100 kilograms of high protein larva in 14 days, it says in this article. So the fake article wasn't completely off base. There are some weird things that the WEF is saying about pets, but they took it a little bit farther than is actually presented by the WEF.
Let me just say one thing from the CNN article, because my wife and I were having drinks the other night, and we were sitting on the couch listening to you and George talk, and we're going to get into some of that as well. But when this came up, my wife looked at me, she goes, "Oh, that can't be real." And I'm like, "Let's look it up." So we're looking it up, and then I kind of forgot about it until today. And then when I was looking on the site again, and I went to the CNN article, this is one of the things that is said in the CNN article that's 100% legit. It says, and they're talking about pets and the carbon paw print. Their meat-heavy diet is the biggest contributor to the carbon paw print, which requires an abundance of energy, land, and water to produce. And the production of pet food emits huge amounts of planet-warming gases. I immediately thought about my own pit bull, who emits his own large amounts of warming gases, but I will not be putting him down. I might adjust his diet a little bit, but it will not be towards insects.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because I have a good friend who was a farmer in the Central Valley. I think he has gotten so much grief from farming that he sold his farm. But he told me at one point he was growing peaches, and he told me that he was thinking about tearing up the peach fields and growing almonds instead. And I said, why? And he goes, well, because it requires a lot less labor. But it does require more water. And so the climate activists are, I don't know if people know this, but they don't like almonds because almonds require a huge amount of water. And they were berating him for wasting water. And his answer back to them was, I don't waste water. I make food. Like making food is not wasting anything, you know.
That is a very good answer and a very good point. And, you know, they've been trying to push the whole water thing on agriculture for a long time, but really it's just mismanagement, bad civil engineering. And, you know, you and I discussed that before, but yeah, the farmers, I think, have gotten a bit of a raw deal on that.
Yeah, indeed. So I did find some other articles. There's a website called Klima. It's got an article on how to cut your pet's carbon footprint for the climate. This was July 26, 2021. And then let me see. Vancouver TV News, cutting your pet's carbon paw print. So that paw print meme was going around in 2021. They were kind of pushing that. Although at the same time, again, I'm not a big defender of the World Economic Forum. On October 26th, it's funny how these are all 26, 2021, they did write an article, and this is how pets help our mental health during lockdown. And so they did report on the benefits of pets during the lockdown. So just to be fair, I thought I'd put that in there.
Good qualifier, and that is true. We will give him credit for that. You guys, I speak with Peter Duke. We're going to take our bottom of the hour news break. When we come back, we're going to talk about MERS. Is it camel virus? Let's talk about Mr. Huff and the nickname that George and Peter have for him that makes me laugh. We'll be back. This is TNT.
Big news, big news. Actually, we do have some big news.
Big news?
Big news, big news.
Yay.
Big news, big news.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. A former Libyan intelligence official accused of making the bomb that brought down Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, appeared Monday in a federal court charged with an act of international terrorism. The former CEO of failed cryptocurrency firm FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, has been arrested in the Bahamas at the request of the U.S. government. Serious gas shortages across the EU are now expected next year as well, according to Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
Ho, it's Santa Claus here from the North Pole. I've had letters from thousands of Americans asking me for a new president for Christmas.
Then on January 6th, we're attacked and assaulted before our very eyes by 9.5 million turkeys. I tell you what, I was going to put him in the foot.
I've never felt such tension. It's like riding a psychotic horse towards a burning stable.
Merry Christmas to all.
Merry Christmas.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, truthers. My name is Michael Parker. This is the program. My guest this hour is Peter Duke. He is the publisher of the Duke Report, which is a nexus for evidence-based journalism that has been censored by big tech oligarchs and totalitarian governments. And as wild and crazy as that sounds, that's exactly where we are at right now. And Peter, in the second hour, I have a guest coming on, and he brings up the idea of being an American dissident. So we're going to talk about that. And it's like, I resonate with that idea, unfortunately. But Peter, let's go back to, so yesterday I had Dr. Andrew Huff on the show, and you messaged me about this, and I had listened to you and George's conversation about him the night before. I think you did it during the day. I think it was your Sunday show that we were listening to. But so he was on, and, you know, right off the bat, I basically asked him, you know, you say from the get-go that you were opposed to gain-of-function research. You were forward about that even in your college days, but this is exactly the industry that you wound up in. And he said, yes, that's true. And I said, well, I said, I think anybody who listens to our show and listens to TNT, the idea of this coming from the Wuhan lab was a foregone conclusion. The question now is, was this accidental or was it on purpose? And even if it didn't just leak from the Wuhan lab, was this accidental or on purpose? And he, you know, he said he still firmly believes that it was an accident. But what say you?
Well, yeah. What say me? All right, here we go. The thing that I always like to try to back up from questions a little bit, not because I'm trying to avoid them, but George has trained me to kind of look at the metadata of the whole thing. And we have a framework of looking at things. Most people have a framework of looking at things that involves things like Republicans and Democrats or good guys and bad guys. It's this kind of Leo Strauss kind of way of looking at the world. And the idea that there's people out there in the world who are pretending to be on one side and saying things that side believes in with one exception, is known as counterintelligence, right? It's a counterintelligence play. And so George and I have been saying for a long time that the fallback position for the wet market, so that if you think about the way that this story has progressed, it started off in a wet market, yep. And then with bats. People were saying, well, what do bats have to do with wet market? And yeah, and somehow people were eating some things that were not clean and it wound up spreading this disease. And then it turns out that that was completely fallacious. Okay, that there are now stories that back up George's contention early on in this situation that the Wuhan military games were the super spreader event that wound up distributing the virus around the world. And then you started to see the lab leak stories when you said you could get thrown off of social media for saying lab leak a year and a half ago. Like if you yes. said that, you would get thrown off, you would lose your account and everything else. That's a fallback position, because if you for a lot of people, for a majority of people, I've seen several polls on this, for a majority of people, they think that this is a bioweapon deployment. And a bioweapon deployment is something that's deliberate. It's not a leak.
Yep.
And so any kind of authorities that you see popping up, I haven't checked Robert Malone's latest story, for example, but I think Robert Malone was always somebody who was contending that it must have been a lab leak, right? Correct me if I'm talking out of school there, but you get these authorities that are claiming to be siding with the populist sentiment, and they're continuing to bang this lab leak drum. And that's always just, it's highly suspect to me, because to me, it looks more like a bioweapon deployment. And anybody who's saying lab leak is just trying to provide a parallel construction, which is a kind of a technical term for creating a story that fits the same facts, but isn't true.
I'm tracking with that 100%. I share your, listen, I liked the guy on a personal level. We had a great conversation yesterday. I'm taking him at his word, even though I share your thoughts on this. And something I was asking somebody the other day, and I can't even remember which guest it was, is one reason that you would perpetuate a lab leak theory over an intentional use of deployment. This as a deployment is that, listen, this is a humanitarian crime of epic proportions. And guess who did it? The U.S. and China. Now, did they do it together? Did China do it by itself? I'm sorry, did the U.S. do it by itself? You and I were talking about this summer of 2021. Well before I joined this show, and you and I were talking about this back then. So to me, we're gradually normalizing a mass humanitarian crime.
Right. And, you put a really good focus on it, because you said U.S. and China did this together. And once you start to dig into the powers that are in control, that are in control of this situation right now, they are transnational. That yes. is, people like to think that the United States is the authority in North America, and that China is the authority in Asia, and that the government, those governments are in control of those territories. But when you start to get into the idea of transnationalism, and it's not very hard to understand that if you've got a company like Apple Computer or Microsoft or Google, and the amount of revenue that they generate annually is bigger than the GDP of most countries, the ability for those entities are transnational. Well, there are other entities that you don't hear about that aren't on the news that are also transnational. And so it becomes very difficult for people to get their arms around. That's why I'm highly suspect of people who are always like blaming China for something, or blaming right. Russia for something, because
agreed.
Or even blaming the United States for something, because the United States at this point has kind of been, the government is so captured by these transnationalists. And really the breakdown, if you want to look at, I mean, I'm not one for dialectics, but if you really want to look at the way that the government is controlled, there are people in the government who are globalists, and there are people in the government who are nationalists. The globalists are the majority, and they're the majority on both sides of the aisle. So the whole idea of like arguing Republican or Democrat is ridiculous. And, you know, just take a look at the infiltration of the FBI into Twitter. I mean, I'm kind of switching channels there a little bit.
No, but, I track with that.
Yeah.
Continue. Go on. I'm sorry.
You go.
Well, Peter, let me mention something to you. Like when I was a kid, you and I are pretty much the same age. When I was a kid, man, I was, and still am, I'm still a big Star Trek fan. Well, what did they show us in Star Trek? This has been going on for decades, right? That in the future, we're all part of this Federation. And on our planet, you know, we've got one overriding government. You know, we got Vulcans. We've got all these cool people in their groovy outfits on the bridge working together on the same team. And as a kid and as a young person, I grew up thinking, yeah, you know what? Actually, to me, it makes sense to have this futuristic, utopian kind of we're all on the same page kind of thing. And I think that was, I'm not trying to blame this on Star Trek, but this is an idea that was often put into our head that one day we will move to this. You know, I want to buy the world a Coke, whether it was Coca-Cola, whatever. And I mean, so on one hand, this all makes a great deal of sense to me. And I almost don't even blame the people who want this for wanting this, because I understand their appeal and their drive to do this. What I don't understand is that people don't think that this is happening and understand the drawbacks that will be associated with it.
Yeah, they seem to have forgotten that. I would say that the World Economic Forum et al. Have seemed to forgotten the prime directive, though. Which was something that was a big part of the first season. And I think that it kind of disappeared after that. And the prime directive was basically don't mess with people who have, basically don't mess with civilizations that don't have warp speed yet. Right.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Don't let them know you even exist. So
don't interfere. Don't influence their ascendancy or rise or whatever.
Right. And if COVID-19 is a deployment, as we speculate, then isn't that like a giant violation of the prime directive?
Big time. And so, indeed. Yeah. So anyway, so back to this, that's why listen, maybe he believes what he's saying. I think that he's way too smart and has way too much of an interesting background to be totally on the mark about just figuring this out because he apparently, you know, he joins EcoHealth Alliance. Then because he's doing such great work, he gets the VP position. And while he's the VP, then he figures out what's really going on. And he wants to get out of that.
But what's a better way to sell the lab leak story than set somebody up as a whistleblower? And who knows? He may have been briefed into the idea that it was a lab leak. Mm-hmm. And he does believe that because he was briefed into it.
Right.
I don't know. But, you know, I'm highly suspect of lab leaks, and especially with what's going on right now with the camel virus that George is talking about. So apparently, do we have to break for commercial or is that?
You know what? I do want to go into this. And let me just, before we go to the commercial, because I do want to talk about camel virus and the World Cup on the other side. But before this, Peter and I always say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I want to be wrong about every single bit of this. I want it to be an accident. That would help renew my faith in humanity. But
at least in the Defense Department.
But I don't think that's what happened. I think that's highly unlikely. And I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with Peter Duke. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
de-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Got all these people taking these private flights, dumping all sorts of CO2 into the atmosphere, and then telling us we're not allowed to dump any CO2 into the atmosphere. Now, they're supposed to be saving the planet. So I'm trying to figure out, well, what is the reasoning for this? Why are they doing this? Well, I started thinking and I said, maybe they have some kind of climate vaccine that we don't know about. Unlike the COVID vaccine, which didn't work for everybody, the climate vaccine, if you take it, means that you can do whatever you want and nothing bad is going to happen. That doesn't seem very logical. Maybe it's reverse psychology. What they're doing is spewing more CO2 into the air, so there's more bad weather. And if there's more bad weather, people can't travel or do anything, so there'll be less CO2. Or there's reason number three. Maybe they're just hypocrites and this is a phony climate war with energy policies that are destroying freedom. This is meteorologist Joe Bastardi, your TNT climate and weather watchdog, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Hi, my name is Marnie Dobek. I'm a family physician, and my son Zachary almost died of sepsis last year. We were lucky. Most people don't know the word sepsis, and they don't know the symptoms. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Know sepsis. To learn more about the symptoms, please go to sepsis.org.
Info at your beck and call.
Accurate, clear communication.
And it keeps changing every day.
Just tell your smart device to play
TNT Radio.
Peter Duke of the Duke Report is my guest this hour. And over the weekend, a story came out that yet another tabletop exercise had occurred. And this one was in October. And this is the same usual suspects. It's John Hopkins University, Bill and Melinda Gates, yada, yada, yada. And this time it was an enterovirus. And I believe they're saying it's going to break out in Brazil or something. But anyway, so that comes out. We also find out that two journalists, one American, and I don't remember where the other photojournalist was or videographer. Believe he was from the Middle East somewhere.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so these two guys die covering the World Cup, and the American, I believe his name was Greg Wald. He had a lingering cough and issue for a week or two. Now, for a minute, his brother and some other people were saying, well, it's related to his rainbow pride shirt that he was wearing, but his brother has now backed off of that. And this morning even went so far to say that, you know, they actually think they may know what happened to him. I don't think that they have released it yet, but then I start listening to you and George's conversation on Sunday night, and George has some thoughts on all of this. And so did you. So let's take it from
it starts to get crazy. Where it starts to get crazy is that the journalist who died, his wife is the COVID coordinator for the Biden White House.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also she's also a regular contributor on CNN. So that was kind of odd. And both of these people died suddenly. And George is hypothesizing, I think that he's got backup for this stuff, that that these guys died of MERS, which has been now rebranded camel virus. The reason they like to take something that's called MERS-2, MERS-2, and then rebrand it as camel virus is because it puts the idea in people's heads that it's a zoonotic disease. That is, that
right.
It's this escape leak fantasy that gets sold out onto the world, that when people think, oh, this comes from camels, they think, oh, this is a natural occurring thing. But the thing is that if it's a natural occurring thing, how come camel virus hasn't been a pandemic ever before? Right.
Precisely. You
know? it's the foolish once, foolish, you know, shame on foolish once, shame on me, foolish twice, shame on you. Or shame on
said all. Yeah. Said almost as well as George Bush misremembering it all. So here's exactly the silly side to this, Peter. Do you remember? So by renaming this thing camel virus, I'm going to go a little PC woke here. Listen, we had a big problem with monkey virus being called our monkeypox being called monkeypox. And so we had to change it to mpox because we didn't want to introduce some racist or ethnocentric right. issues into this. Well, you know what? I'm sorry, but camel virus, that's beginning to sound a little, sounding a little racist for me. I mean, that's coming from the Middle East and hinting at the fact that this terrible killer may have come from the Middle East. Maybe I know I'm being slightly sarcastic, but.
Yeah. Well, also you've got the potential, super spreader event, the World Cup mm-hmm. going on right now. So which is the, you know, which is right in the heart of yes. people who have camels, right? So
yes, exactly.
Yeah. So it's it all seems like a school play, as George would say.
And I do not know this for sure. Certainly the American was multi-vaccinated. The other journalist, I had read on one of my forums that he was not vaccinated. I cannot verify that. We will wait and see what they say caused the deaths of these two men, and hopefully there won't be more. But if something arises out of all this, it will definitely be sketchy, and George might have yet another hit on his hands where he pegs something correctly.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, you know, you can accuse me of putting a tinfoil hat on this one, and I'll put a giant like disclaimer on it. But Michael A. Hoffman is a guy who wrote a book called Secret Societies and Psychological Warfare. And he always talks about blood sacrifice as a way mm-hmm. That alchemists kick off these things. And I don't know if you remember that, but right before Corona became a thing, Kobe Bryant famously
yes.
was killed.
Yeah.
And now we have this Fox, not that this Fox broadcaster was on the same social, I would say people recognized him like Kobe Bryant, but it's a public, you know, yes. Michael Hoffman would categorize it as kind of like as a blood sacrifice in order to kick off the whole operation.
Well, and I think it's also extremely weird, coincidental, whatever term you want to use for it, depending on your viewpoint, that his wife was this high ranking member of Biden's administration on fighting these very types of issues.
Yep. I mean, the thing is that once you start to get into these, kind of deep conspiracies, the thing that I learned from George 5 or 6 years ago is that it's usually a very small cast of characters. You know,
yep.
people say, oh, you know, a conspiracy, they couldn't really run this because there would be too many people and it might leak. But a lot of times you find that it's the same people doing things. You know, Henry Kissinger's name keeps coming up over and over and over again. Bill Gates' name keeps coming up mm-hmm. over and over and over again. You know, it's the same. Johns Hopkins University, which is at the heart of the book, America's Secret Establishment, the Skull and Bones by Anthony Sutton. The entire creation of Johns Hopkins University is kind of highly suspect.
I think a lot of the push towards the normalization or the acceptance of transgenderism came out of Johns Hopkins as well. I think they did a lot of studies on that. And, you know, hey, you know, we've got puberty blockers, we've got surgical modifications. Sure, why not?
But it might have started way before that. There was a meme yes. going around today that I think Turning Point USA was. It was just a clip from I think it was Monty Python. What was the? I'm trying to remember the movie about Jerusalem, Life of Brian.
Yes.
Where one of the members of one of the dissident groups has decided that he wants to be a woman and he wants to be named Loretta. And there's an entire kind of like, epistemological argument going on back and forth about why would you want to do that? But it's so on topic today, you know, it's kind of crazy.
Peter, and that takes us back to the beginning of our interview. We have now entered the realm where satire and reality, you have to dig deep to find out which one you're actually looking at, because we've gone so far away from just common sense and traditional values and just being honest that now you have to look really hard to make sure Is this real or is this satire?
Well, not only that, I rewatched the movie Galaxy Quest the other night. We were talking about Star Trek earlier.
Yes.
And in the movie Galaxy Quest, right, you have an alien race who was watching basically old episodes of Star Trek and thought that it was such a great show that they built the ship because they could. And they asked the crew to help them fight some, you know, evil space monster. And I watch that show now and it gives me shivers because I wonder whether or not 100 years from now, or, you know, 100 years from now, kids in school are going to be watching Hunger Games Mockingbird and being told that that's history, or watching Lord of the Rings and being told that that's history. Because when you start to understand the disconnects between the history that we get taught in school, even in universities, you know, and then you start to, you know, kind of dig into the Peter Dale Scott, Anthony Sutton, Carol Quigley version of events, then you start to realize that the things that you've been taught are as real as Lord of the Rings. I mean, there's a complete disconnect from what we learn and what really happened.
Just the other day, this is just a tangent. The other day I was wishing one of my college friends, he had some kind of a anniversary come up on his LinkedIn. And so I was congratulating him on it and sending him just a little note. And then I realized, I was like, hey, do you remember that time that we went to that game in Houston at the Astrodome? And it's weird because I know that I was there with him, but it's so long in the past for me that sometimes we question if things actually happen in our own lives, because it was at a certain point or whatever. And I was just laughing about it with him. So it's like, even intellectually, we can be, if something hits you on an emotional level and it's drilled into you day in and day out, not that this football game was, and I'm also getting up there in years, but you can make people believe things that actually never happened, and they will think in their heart that it did happen, and they embrace it fully.
Well, I mean, the story that we kicked off today, okay? I was completely fooled. I was completely fooled by that WEF story. And I thought that I had background checked it enough to make it the lead story on the Duke Report. But then when I started fact checking it in order to get ready for your show today, I was aghast that I had been fooled. And then I had to watch it a couple more times to figure out what was it about the way that this thing is put together. It's, you know, it's kind of like Stu Peters, died suddenly. You know, Stu's a friend of mine. I like Stu a lot. I think that movie is fantastic hypnosis, and it takes a lot of events and it puts them together and allows you to connect the dots where there aren't any connections. Mm-hmm. And that's called hypnosis, you know, and that's kind of what we're dealing with now. And most people don't have the critical thinking skills to be able to fight that stuff. And sometimes even if I like to think that I have critical thinking skills, but it fooled me. So, you know, you just got to be careful.
And Peter, I would even go one step farther. Even though that article was not a real art, well, it was satire. But to me, the meme is already out there. The idea is already out there. So when they do come for our pits, which I think actually makes a lot of sense, I'm completely opposed to it. And I think that there would be a massive pushback to that when they should have pushed back against other things. But I would theorize the idea is already out there in the ether. And when it does come down the pike, I will not be at all surprised.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised to find out that this is something that they had considered talking about and they had decided not to because they realized that people love their pets too much. I mean, mm-hmm. it's interesting because I don't know how
more
I would
than freedom.
I would construct a poll, right? Freedom or maybe right to life. I mean, the things that are going on with Canada, with euthanasia right now, the horrible things that you hear people say about unborn children in the abortion debates, like those things probably pale, right, compared to how much people like their pets. So whoever started this PSYOP, I think, you know, I give them kudos because if you wanted to really take down the WEF, it's a really great PSYOP.
Well, that was going to be my comeback to it today. It's like, you know, when people should have stood up for other rights and things that were important, they didn't do it. But now you come for their cat or their dog. And you know what? I admit it. I got two dogs. I got two cats. They are beloved in my home. And you come for them. Whew, you got a world of trouble on your hands. You think about all these little cat ladies that weren't involved in anything else. The minute you come for their cats, it's on.
Right. Exactly. And then you have to wonder whether or not toxoplasmosis is a bioweapon.
Oh, he went there, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, he went there. That is so good. Peter Duke, you are a genius, my friend. So what is coming up? You just put a new article on the Duke Report. Tell us what it is, and then we got to get out of here.
Yeah, it's information liberation. 1,000 people came over the border in Mexico. It looks like
just 1,000.
There might be up to 5.6 million new Americans this year. So it's crazy.
Peter Duke, The Duke Report, my friend. Thank you, brother.
Talk to you soon, man.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got hour two coming up for you. Stick around. We'll be back. This is Deprogram on TNT.